Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real life, real faith, real talk.
Real talk.
Real talkative. Zach's just a bowl of talkativeness today. He was the one that suggested we podcast tonight, and then radio silence as soon as I got a mic in front of his face.
Less of a suggestion, more of a necessity.
Yeah, well, that too. This week you got to hear an interesting story about me, a little bit of the deeper into the lore of Warner, the Lorner, if you will.
From who?
From my mom. You got to hear a story about how when I was an infant, I met John MacArthur, and how like my mom was. My mom's stories are always. I love my mom's stories because she has this one about Ted Bundy, where she's like, "Was it Ted Bundy? I don't know. One of those guys."
Where, the killer?
Yeah. And he would have been like serial killing around the time that my mom was like a, you know, teenager or a young lady or whatever. She has this story about this guy following her in the mall. And she tells this story. And then the big reveal at the end is she like talking to about my uncle was a police officer. And she said she was like watching the news. She's like, "Hey, that was the guy that was chasing me in the mall." And he's like, "No way." And it's like, I think I'm pretty sure it's Ted Bundy, somebody like that.
Bro, she told me some crazy story pretty early on about her and her dad. I can't remember like everything about it, but they were like at this visiting this person's house.
Yeah,
and they like tried to lock them in.
Yeah, let me tell you that story later too. Oh boy, this is gonna get all the old folks that send me Facebook reels real hyped up. But before we get into that, let me tell you this John MacArthur story. So my mom tells this story about she's at this pastor's conference with my dad, and I'm a baby, and she's breastfeeding me, and some guy comes in and he's like, "Oh, let me see your baby," and like uncovers her to see the baby, and it's like really awkward, but he's like, "Oh, what a cute baby," and then he leaves, and
he uncovers her while she's breastfeeding.
Yes, she's like, "Oh, this is an awkward story." And then she goes into the conference and she's like telling my dad the story. And then, you know, in this version, she says, he asks what the guy looked like. And then they announce the keynote speaker for the conference, John MacArthur. And she's like, "That's him." It's very similar to the Ted Bundy reveal. But
there's no way these stories are real, bro.
Oh, I hope they are. They're awesome. Regardless, now you get to see like what my version of apostolic succession is. That
ordained by John MacArthur.
John MacArthur saw me breastfeeding as an infant.
Almost nursed off of him.
Essentially, yes. Yeah.
That's terrible.
So that's my story.
And now you hate Easter eggs.
Anyway. So this other story, yeah. You want to hear the other story?
Yeah. I haven't heard in a long time. I think your dad was there while she was telling me.
Yeah, so they had met this guy that that was a dentist, I think.
That's already creepy.
And he was like, "Yeah, come to my house and I want you guys to meet some friends of mine." And
shows up and everybody's in white hoods.
Well, I mean, they were Islamic extremists, which in the early 90s, that was not, you know, very that was pretty new to the States.
Back
anyway,
when we were a Christian society.
So, like all us kids are playing in the basement. Allegedly, I was a baby, so I don't remember any of this.
Yep.
But all the kids are playing in the basement, and the people won't let them leave their house until they like convert to Islam. And so I guess my dad gets all raged out and hulks out, and he's like, "Give me my kids." And in the story, it sounds like he busted down the basement door, but I don't really know how it all worked. But then like the creepy part of the story or whatever is at the end of that, then they go looking for this dentist to be like, "Dude, that was nuts. Don't ever invite us to something like that again." And his practice is closed. Those people's house that they were at, they're moved out. It's empty. And
bro.
Yeah. So that's the story. Again, I was a baby in all of these stories, not the Ted Bundy one. I didn't exist yet. But the other two, I was a baby. I can't really tell you how these stories played out, but I do love the stories.
Bro, you were meant to be a Christian, bro. You got the Jesus King Herod experience, bro.
I almost got King Heroded in a Muslim. You almost got
King Heroded before time, dude.
I almost got, like Ted Bundy almost killed my lineage.
Then John Carter almost indoctrinated you into Calvinism.
What a wild story. I should just, this is why we should have a testimony night at my church.
And then the governor of New York tried to take you out. What's his mom, Donnie?
It was maybe his grandparents. I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding. That's crazy.
They had moved to you know, the Midwest for some, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. All these stories are just fascinating to me. But the thing is, most of these stories can be corroborated by somebody else. And so... or at the time they could. So I've heard multiple.
There were 500 eyewitnesses. That's funny. Yeah, your mom is like packed full of like weird stories that I never thought I'd get from her.
But I
thought she was just some boring like white bread Christian woman.
But I love that. I love a good storyteller. You know that.
She's good too, boy. She knows how to build it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like she always like holds the reveal for the end, and it's like, I know. That's the guy, and it's like, yeah.
She didn't hold the reveal for John MacArthur, boy. That veil was torn, buddy.
So today, I get some of that storytelling from my mom, and so I think that helps. And then my dad was a really good preacher, so I was born to do this. And but my other thing that I was born to do is be a stand-up comedian. Like I feel really like that's where I would have thrived in my life, so I kind of just sprinkle that into my preaching. And today I hit you with a joke that was just for you from the pulpit, and your response to it was priceless, because as soon as I was done and we were getting ready to leave church, you were like dude, you left the 99 for the one with that joke.
Bro, I was the only person laughing, and I bet people were wondering, why is that funny?
But that's even funnier. Your joke is even funnier and more meta, because there were literally 100 people at church today.
On the dot?
Yeah, so you were so literally, yeah, that joke was for the one leaving the 99.
That
completely.
Was prophecy, boy.
Yeah, yeah, so that's funny. That's a good time.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed your sermon today. I wasn't in a great headspace this morning for some reason. I'm not feeling well, man. I'm not sleeping well.
You had a haul of freezer.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad. But Mason came to church this morning. I was like blown away by that. I don't know. I was pulling up and I seen him walking in. I'm like, bro, what is he doing here? Hunter was supposed to come, and Dylan, but they didn't come. Hunter's grandpa died yesterday.
Oh, shoot. That's sad.
So, yeah, that sucks, man. I hated to hear that. But, yeah, it was good to see the boys. And let me recap this story for you. I've already told you, but it might be interesting to people out there. So, I got these two kids. Whoa, hold up. There's these two kids I used to play the game with.
They were kids when you played the game, but so were you.
I was also a kid,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
One kid, his name's Lil Robbie, is what we called him. And then the other kid, well, his Xbox gamer tag was RoughNoodle69.
I don't love that.
And the other guy, I can't remember what his name was, but his name's Jesse. And me and my little brother used to play with them on Rainbow Six Siege. You remember that game we played down here in the basement?
Yeah. Which I was thinking, if you could get into Call of Duty, I'd really like to get back into Call of Duty. I think I could.
Are you for real?
Yeah, I was.
Wait, how do you feel about Battlefield? That new one just dropped, and it looks fire.
I don't know. I could try it out, but I saw some Facebook history or flashbacks or whatever Facebook calls them, where I had posted some clips of me playing Call of Duty.
Nice.
Dude, they were fire.
Black Ops 7 is new, and it's free on Game Pass.
Dude,
but your wife's not going to let you get another subscription, bro.
Oh, listen, buddy. She plays Xbox more than I do, so I think she figured out a loophole with the Game Pass thing. So,
oh, for real?
Yeah, I think I got Game Pass.
Let's hop on it, bro.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
tell me about Limp Noodle or whatever.
I met these kids like probably like four years ago, bro. We used to play the game all the time, and my little brother is a hothead, bro. Like, he just talks crazy. The kids call it rage baiting now, right? So we used to get into arguments all the time, and we'd like fall out, and then we start playing together again.
Wait, hold up. Your brother used to get in arguments with people on purpose?
Yeah.
Tell me more. No way.
Oh, okay. Runs in the family. I see what you're doing here. So, long story short, I become a Christian. I think I was still living with my mom back then. I got my own place, and I remember we used to stay up late playing a game, and we would talk about Jesus, and we would talk about the Bible, and they would talk about how they really wanted to read the Bible, but all the churches around them, yada, 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 and all this and that, and that. So I'm like, let's just do a Bible study. So we start reading James. We get probably most of the way through chapter one, I think. And me and Jesse are going like faithfully, right? And one night we get together to do it. He doesn't show up, virtually show up. So we're like, all right, we'll do it next time. Do it again. He doesn't virtually show up. And it's like 10 o'clock at night. Bro's not doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're already a little skeptical of what's going on. But they're cousins. So they know each other in real life already, and they're super close. So Jesse's like talking about him behind my back and all this like drama, all this nonsense. And I guess I can't really remember what happened, but he reminded me today. I said something hurtful to him, probably. It kind of sounds like the way you described yourself as a young man, a Christian. I guess I said something to him like, God is just a hobby to you or something like that. You can't stay committed to this. And what a foolish thing for me to say, looking back now, because there's many times that I have fallen out of commitment with God. But the point still stands, and I told him this, that, you know, when we don't want to do something or when we think we don't need it anymore is when we need it the most. But I'm skipping something here. So they text me last night at 1:30 in the morning. 1:30 in the morning. And he's like, hey, can we come to Indiana tomorrow and come see you? And I'm like, and we haven't talked probably in like a year and a half. And I'm like, yeah, bro, sure. So I tell him to come to church. That didn't happen. Then we're sitting at lunch and he calls me. He's like, hey, I'm here outside your house.
Yeah.
So I come down here, and it was like super awkward at first, because like these are guys I met on the game. You know, I haven't even seen Jesse. I didn't even know who. I was like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And he told me who he was, and he was all offended and stuff.
He's like, this is Noodle Bob.
Noodle Bob is crazy. So I'm like, all right, let's go do something. And the whole time I'm driving home, I'm thinking in my head, like, how am I supposed to feel right now? You know what I mean? Am I supposed to be like excited? I'm not supposed to be nervous. I mean, these are like an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old kid. Yeah. It's not like I'm meeting Obama.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I wouldn't be that excited about that. But anyway, so I meet up with these kids. We go to the mall. We go get pizza. And we're sitting there eating pizza. And they're like joking around, being, you know, kids, being all goofy and stuff. And I kind of got to rein them in, bro, and really talk to them about Jesus again in person. And it just felt... this whole entire thing just felt like it was fun and goofy and dumb, but it felt like Holy Spirit inspired. Like, why did this happen today?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so random, but it just happened. You know what I mean? And it went well. Came back here and played chess for a little bit and
listened to some Benjamin William Hastings.
Yeah. And sent them on their way. You know what I mean? It was just like so random, but I kind of needed that. You know, I kind of needed to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird, but it was awesome, man. So yeah, that was my weirdly awesome thing that happened to me today.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And and then I had a recovery meeting and then just got home, and I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my night. Probably sleep. I took a nap today, but I'm probably still going to sleep. I'm like super tired.
Black Ops 7?
Or maybe Black Ops 7. I don't know. We'll see.
How was the recovery meeting?
It was good. Yeah.
What'd you guys talk about?
We talked about how... we talked about like in Mark chapter 1. When we talked about calling first, but then we talked about how Jesus...
Calling?
Yeah. And we talked about how Jesus healed the leper, but the guy's like, if you're willing, heal me. And then Jesus says, I'm willing, get up, you know.
Yeah.
And he grabs his hand and he's healed. But like we talked about how like that guy then is told to like get up and live his life and go do his thing. And how being a leper was like a whole identity. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of tied it into that and like how like we got to let go of that leper identity because God is willing to pull us out of that. But we have to let go of that identity and not just like forever hold that in our, you know, in our lives and like not go back to the leper colony kind of thing, you know?
Do you think in that instance though, Jesus like healed him of that?
Yeah.
That whole, the whole picture, not just the physical, but the,
yeah, I think so.
The identity of a leper.
I think so. Yeah.
So wouldn't it be the same for like,
yeah, that's what we were talking about. Cause,
oh really?
Cause so often a lot of these recovery meetings that are like more secular focus on like, really, like when you go into your share time, like saying your name and saying that you're an addict or you're an alcoholic or whatever, and then like hanging,
hey, I'm Zach, I'm gay.
Yeah, hanging on to that identity rather than just like letting God really change you. And so, yeah, it is interesting. And then the share time got really good, and we just got into a whole lot of like asking questions and stuff like that. And I got to share that, you know, the more I try to do this, like giving people a safe place to fail, the more I'm tested in that. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because today I had an opportunity where like normally I would have been furious and it happened. And I was like, eh, okay, well, what's next?
Do you think it's possible that it's not more tests, but the tests are just more apparent to you now? Like, these things have been happening, but maybe now that you're like...
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
Super focused on fixing this part. I guess New Year's resolutions might be true.
Yeah. But it also helped maybe that...
St. Dominic was looking down.
It also helped that St. Matt Murphy texted me today.
Oh, yeah?
And out of the blue, definitely Holy Spirit. And just texted me saying that he was praying for me today and all this stuff. And, like, it was good because he's kind of the guy who taught me that safe place to fail thing. And so it was good that he was praying for me, you know? Kind of like when we ask the saints to pray for us for the things that they're specifically good at or something.
Yeah, it's Mary to pray for us. Did you get to talk to him at all?
No, not really. He said he's maybe going to give me a call this week, but I didn't get to talk to him much after that. He's hard to get hold of these days. But
really?
Yeah. Just I don't know if it's like a... I think there's a major, major time difference.
Really?
Yeah. Like he said, I got the text this morning, and he said I was praying for you tonight. And so I think it's like literally almost a whole day's difference.
Dang.
Yeah, like it's nighttime there, it's daytime for us, that kind of thing. I think
about him sometimes, man. I think about how hard it would be to be a missionary.
Yeah, you
know, like especially somebody who like desires community and fellowship and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't reach out to him enough. I don't know who he has in his life that's reaching out to him, and I hope there's people that are, man, and I need to do a better job at that. But it would be hard, man.
Yeah,
it would be so hard. That's a calling straight out of the cornfield.
Well, I think the same thing about AJ, man.
Nothing for that?
No, I know. It's no, their book.
Don't give me your fake laugh. I know. Okay, keep it.
I think the same thing about AJ, man. I know just because of the way he lights up when we're there, I know that he's got to be lonely there. Not lonely. I'm sure God provides in a lot of ways, like giving him.
He needs a girl. That's what he needs, boy.
Dude, he's looking slick.
He's about to get me.
He's looking smelly. He's real handsome and
yeah.
Lost a lot of weight. He's just looking skinny, healthy,
bro.
Yeah.
And
he always dresses so cool.
Even before, bro.
AJ was always looking dapper.
Yeah, bro, looked like a mob boss.
Yeah. But I'm hoping AJ gets to come to. Obviously, we're going to go see him when we go to Honduras in March, but I'm hoping that he gets to come up and see us sometime in the summer. We'll see.
Yeah, it's hard to get him up here. But he's in the States all the time, isn't he?
He comes up about twice a year, but he'll spend like 2 weeks and like run around. Like in that time, he'll hit up like church, like a church Sunday morning, a church Sunday night, a church Wednesday night, another church Sunday morning, another church Sunday night. You know, like he's hitting them up every. He's doing it, man.
That's crazy. And there's probably a lot of people that want to see him and have lunch with them and all this and that, man.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, today we kind of sparked this idea of talking about grace, because when do we give grace? How do we give grace? To whom do we give grace? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I would call it selective grace.
Because that's, man, today when I was preaching today, it was really hard, because obviously, you know, I talk about this all the time, but I kind of plan my sermons out, not all the way, but like at least what text I'm preaching sort of like months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not like trying to conform to what's happening in the world, but most certainly the things that happen in the world definitely end up pertaining to the message that I'm preaching.
Sure.
And so today, you know, it was all about pride and what that does to us. And so it was a good opportunity to talk about this this Philip Yancey situation, where, you know, he confessed to having a years-long affair.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that how do those things happen when you've got someone who's like clearly studying God's word, preaching God's word, writing about God's word? How does that happen? And then you know, with this shooting in Minnesota, and you and I have been talking about this a lot. Just
Minneapolis. Is that in Minnesota?
In Minnesota, yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. and just like
bad year for the Vikings.
We've been talking about just everything that's going on with all that. And it all pertains to, like, when do we give grace and to whom do we give grace? Because that's the thing, is, right, like, we should – so many people are basing their opinion on the situation that happened based on their political affiliation.
Yeah, if you're conservative, you have grace on the police officer. If you're a liberal or Democrat or whatever, you have grace on this lady that got shot.
And no grace for the other person, whichever side of that story you're on.
Right.
And that's...
No understanding, no middle
ground.
Yeah,
it's not like... Maybe let's look at the complexity of the situation and be broken over the fact that somebody lost their life.
Because
like,
that's the thing. This is the thing, though, is like we were talking about it in a Bible study where like... Different media outlets will spin these things where it's like, you know, I was talking to my supervisor about it, and you see the video at first, and you're like, oh, man, this is just, like, straight up wrong. Like, this guy just murdered this lady in cold blood. And then you find out she was following him all day, that she was a paid protester, and all this, like, crazy stuff. And then, for me personally, I immediately took the side of the cop. I'm like, he got hit. It was a justified kill from a secular point, from a lawful point, yada, yada, yada. And then I had to catch myself while I was talking to my supervisor, because we were arguing about who was the victim and who was the perpetrator. And we're arguing about this. And I'm like, hold up, bro. We got to look at the big picture here, bro. We shouldn't have a problem with illegal immigration. We shouldn't have a problem with ICE having to be dealing with illegal immigration. We shouldn't have a problem with wars or protests or unrest or injustice or killing, or even the need to feel to kill.
Yeah.
Self-defense, any of these things. We shouldn't... None of this should be a thing.
Yeah, it shouldn't even... Yeah, there should be no reason for it, for any of it.
No.
And it comes to a point where we have... And, you know, somebody at church talked about this in the Sunday school Bible study time, where we were talking about how we form our own bubbles, and the algorithms that we follow make that whole thing worse, because it just continues to show you the things that confirm the thing that you believe, right?
Right.
Like, it doesn't ever challenge us. We don't have to go look for anything, because it's always given to us exactly how we want to receive it.
Right.
And this causes dangerous... just dangerous things all over the place. I wasn't going to mention this because I thought, oh, what if this lady listens to the podcast? But I assume that if she, when you hear the rest of the story, you'll think she probably thinks the internet is evil, and so she probably doesn't even have, you know, a way to listen to the podcast. But I met somebody this week who was talking about how they have a hard time finding a church because so many churches are worldly. And I was like, well, okay, I guess to an extent I could agree with you on that, but I want to know what you mean by that. And she used the example. She's like, basically, today, even people in church would think I'm weird for this, but I'm getting rid of my real ID because it's part of the mark. And I was like, okay, well, yes, you're right. Church people will think you're weird because I think that's weird. But it's like that. Where did she get that? And then once she got a hold of that information, then she spirals down into, and this happens to anybody who goes down these conspiracy rabbit holes, where like now you can find like evil cabal in anything because you've now fed that to whatever source, and now you're finding more things like that.
Well, let's use this lady as an example. When you were telling us about this on Friday, this is honestly where the idea first popped into my mind, because I was wondering if this is an act of selective grace, right?
Yeah.
So before the podcast, I mean, we won't go too deep into it, but we were talking about this guy who I have sort of some qualms with, right?
Yeah, some beef.
And it, unfortunately, there's things I need to work on in that. Yeah, that's all I could say. I can't say there's things he needs to work on.
Sure. But you could. Anyway.
So with this kid, you would say he's like just a naive kid. He doesn't really know what's going on. I say kid, he's older than me.
But my argument is that I think he's just like spiritually not where, like, he's just not like, he's not spiritually intelligent, if that makes sense. I don't know if there's a better word for that, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, 100%. And I 100% agree with that. But in that, you choose to have grace on him. What about this lady?
Yeah.
You could say the same thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But this is interesting, because this is not me like trying to call you out or like shame you for whatever happened with this lady. That is weird, admittedly.
Yeah.
But we have to look past the weird. With this kid, I need to look past this stuff.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
what's happening with me is prideful.
Yeah.
What's happening with me is prideful, and I would argue maybe what is happening.
Yeah, with me, for sure. Absolutely.
Possibly.
No, I think definitely. Yeah,
but we have different triggers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think your trigger is like theological or like these crazies that talk about revelation.
Yeah, I just really conspiracy stuff really especially is a trigger for me. But that's interesting.
You know what I think it is with this kid is this kid reminds me of guys I dealt with growing up.
Yeah.
He's in that circle of the people I used to hang out with. And those people used to give me this advice and used to think they got it all figured out. My best friend, Jordan, I've told you so many times how he tried to tell me that the sun was God and how I just need to tap into this and do this and that. And it would enrage me, bro.
Yeah.
It's prideful.
Yeah. And that I would imagine that like this conspiracy stuff frustrates me so much because I was not nearly down that rabbit hole, but I definitely come from like that kind of dispensationalist, wild, like end timesy vibe, you know.
And your age too, it was extremely very
predominant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. I bet that really is. It's a pride thing where I come like I've come out of that, so everyone should be out of that.
And oh, you just defined, I think, what I have with this kid,
dude. Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
I used to be the same. That's crazy, because I remember there was this girl that I was situationship, never had sex with her. Not what I'm implying by that. Yeah. I'm a semi-proud 22-year-old virgin. But I used to talk to her all the time and give her advice. I was like I was a major simp, major friend-zoned.
Yeah.
And I would give her advice. She used to tell me all the time, you should be a therapist. Because I had all these words of wisdom and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know what I was talking about.
And you were probably saying things like, you just need to be winning more or
get
that money.
Get that money, girl.
Yeah.
Sleep with as many guys that makes you happy.
Yeah.
But now I realize all that was just jargon, and maybe I hate myself for that a little bit, and I hate when people do that to me now.
Bro, now you are talking like a therapist. You're like breaking down childhood trauma and stuff. But
that's real, bro.
Yeah, I think we both had a pretty big revelation here live on the podcast that just like we both are shaming people that are just what we didn't like about ourselves prior to having whatever knowledge we have. And so then this is what I was preaching about today.
But Jesus loved that us.
Right. And this is what I was preaching about today is we get to this point where like we see somebody that's not at whatever level we think is us at our best, right? And then we're like, well, I'm better than that. And we can even be doing it in a way that we're like trying to be like, I need to bring them up to where I'm at. But really, we're just smushing them down and pushing them down in the mud.
No, I don't think that's the worst thing. I don't think thinking I should bring somebody up to where I'm at. Like,
but if that's what we're really doing. But I think what you and I are doing specifically is we're like, I need to keep this person where they're at, push them down so that I'm not reminded that I was ever that bad.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And that's such a tough thing to come to terms with because I don't want to think of myself that way, that I would do that to somebody, but I absolutely did. Yeah. One encounter.
Which is another aspect of pride for
yeah,
us.
One,
you don't want to think of
yourself. I don't want to think of myself as judgmental. And so, yeah. So, instead I just become really prideful in thinking that I'm not prideful. But, yeah, I definitely, after one encounter, was like, I don't want to deal with this lady's issues.
Yeah. I did this to my supervisor this week, I think. We were talking, which it wasn't bad. Nothing bad came of it. But I was talking to him about, you know, how this idea of a wretched man, right? How there's no man righteous but God.
Yeah.
And I was really trying to hit the nail on the head to him. Like, I told him all the crazy stuff. I think Hitler could have been saved. I think Jeffrey Dahmer could have been saved. Paul was saved.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I thought these were all like hard pressed points and that it would click with him. And he was like, I don't know, man. I think that might just be your religion. And he like he believes in the Bible. He believes in God. He's like, I need to go look at the Bible. And in my head, I'm thinking, I'm just going to be crass here. You idiot.
Yeah.
I know the Bible, you idiot. I know the Bible.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what the Bible says.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I had to catch myself and be like, he said this and it triggered me. He said, ooh, I shouldn't use, that's a nasty word. He said, I know I'm just not at the place you are right now.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, hold up. You don't want to be at my place. All right. My place is not the place that you need to be striving for. And I realized in that moment that that's how I was coming off. And I'm like, brother, I'm sorry. Just read the Bible, bro. Just read it yourself. I was like, I still would always encourage you to be a part of a church and to like almost in a way fall in line with your church to have an authority over you. But yeah, you're right. You're right, Warner. I can't make him think what I think.
Yeah.
Even though I'm 97% sure I'm right in this, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's not how I came to any conclusions. That's not how I came to know the Lord.
Yeah.
What your dad did beautifully was he gave me the resources. He gave me the tools and he let me fly.
Yeah.
And if I could be a little more like that, I think I'd be doing the will of God.
And he gave you a safe place to fail.
I told you that one story.
Yeah.
But no, you're right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I wonder, how do we combat this like idea of who do we select when we choose to give grace?
Hmm.
There's people we favor, and we know James talks about this, about the idea of favoritism or taking favor.
We're not supposed to, and that's I think first step is recognizing it like we did today. I think that's really important. But then not to swing the pendulum the other way, and then now all of a sudden I'm giving more grace to conspiracy people, you know what I mean? Or you're giving more grace from like the get money street crowd. You know what I mean? Like, we have to not then overcompensate and go the other way. But how do we balance it out? Yeah, that's probably the tougher question, honestly.
And what does grace look like? Can you remind us, me and the viewers, of the three types of grace?
Yeah, so there's prevenient grace, which is like the, I guess sometimes it's like natural grace. It's the just the grace that God gives us to like even exist, even though we're so rebellious against him. Like before we ever come into salvation.
Like, see, like when people are like, I should have died so many times.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like God giving you opportunity and being patient with you in your rebellion.
Because you're predestined.
And his Holy Spirit like going before you, which, yeah, I mean. And then there's justifying grace, which is the grace that is like the moment of whatever that what moment, or I don't know how you want to describe it, but when you come to the reality of being in a relationship with Jesus and understanding that you need a savior and surrendering to him. But then there's after that there's sanctifying grace, which is like the repetitive, constant being transformed into what God wants you to be.
Right. So I think in that sanctifying grace, there is, I mean, this is purely experiential or anecdotal, but there is chastening, there is hardening, yeah. There's condemnation. Not condemnation, conviction.
Conviction,
my not bad, condemnation. Brother.
Yeah, finding the difference there is
part this, of the problem. This yeah. man casts out demons in the name of Beelzebub. Yeah. No, that ain't him. So, are we capable of giving that? Or being a tool for that?
Yes, we are absolutely capable of being a tool or a vessel for it. But how often do we allow ourselves to be? Like, or how often do we participate in God's grace? We love to receive God's grace, but how often do we participate in being a vessel for God's grace when it's not convenient for us?
I mean specifically the hard stuff, the challenge. When is my time to challenge and when is not? Would you say it's just like a you know, case by case Holy Spirit thing, or is there some type of formula? You know, like if I find myself to be enabling instead of giving grace, do I then challenge? Like, what do you think about this idea?
Well, there are so many places in the Bible that it tells us to work on our own thing first. So, if it's, I think if it becomes a stumbling block for us to be correcting someone, then that is not the place where we need to be doing the correcting.
And if they're not receiving our correction.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. I think that would be the place to not. And so, okay, I'll give you the perfect example is in Matthew, he says to go to the person and try to correct the situation and see if they'll come into repentance. And if they refuse so many times, he says to then treat them as an unbeliever. But I don't think that doesn't mean like cast them out. That means start from square one. Start with, okay, I'm pounding this guy with just a bunch of Bible info and saying, and acting like, man, this is stupid that you don't know the Bible, but maybe he doesn't know the Bible. And so start where he's at and be like, okay, well, you know, like talk to him like a child, like you would teach a child scripture.
Yeah, I guess my stumbling block in that is like, it's hard to talk to a child that professes to be an adult.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But then if we look at it from the eyes of Jesus, that's all of us.
Yeah.
We're all children who profess to be adults. We're all fools who profess to be wise.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So yeah, I just, I thought it was interesting. I guess to be blunt, I came to this thought because of this lady and your experience with her, but I suppose it's that was prideful in itself. I suppose it's probably something we all do. We yeah. all give selective grace.
Yeah.
You know, there's people I like more than others. Do you think it's we should favor Christians over the world?
That's loaded, because I think we should spend more time with Christians.
Is that for us or for them?
For us. But we're also told to go out in the world and make disciples. And so there's a level of, you can't do that if you isolate yourself into just the Christian bubble. And then this goes back to the whole like algorithm thing. If you go to church where and everyone says like how great you are and they love all the stuff that you're doing and they're so thankful for you, then yeah, then you're pretty, it's pretty easy to get prideful in that, because you're like, I know these people like what I'm doing, and so I don't have to be uncomfortable. I don't have to you know, go pray for people that I don't necessarily agree with what they're saying. I don't have to try to adjust my adjust my attitude or my face or any or my reactions, because these people all agree with the things that I'm doing and they like what I'm doing, and so then I can just be me and it's fine. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I've experienced that in starting this new job where, like, you know, I spent so much time around the church. My job was for a long time with people I went to church with.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were all proud of who I was, especially seeing from where I came from. Right. And I start this new job now with the Hispanic guys, with a Hispanic guy. And Hispanic guys are like notoriously like put together. You know what I mean? They wake, yeah. like every Hispanic guy I've ever met wakes up early. The young guys, they go to the gym, then they go to work. And they pack their lunch.
Yeah.
They have a wife that packs their lunch for them. And they go home and they spend time with their kids. Like, this, my supervisor is like perfect. And I'm not. In every aspect of where he's coming from, I'm failing. So it's been like super challenging for me not to be looked at as a guy who's doing it right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting parallel. And I told Eli that today, because in a weird way, the job he's offering me is like amazing. Yeah. Benefits are amazing. Pay is amazing. 7 to 2.
Yeah.
I'm eating that up.
Well, that would be my only hurdle for you, is I don't know if you could do 7.
I could do it.
I don't know if you could do 7 o'clock.
Brother, I used to wake up at 4 a.m. to go deliver printers. All right.
Used to.
I could do it again.
Okay.
I'm doing good now.
I want to see it. I'd love to see that.
This job is just better in every way.
Yeah, I can imagine. I would agree.
But I think I need this. I think I need what I'm experiencing right now.
Yeah.
I need to lose weight. He's always joking on me for being fat. I need to get back on that.
Oh, but Eli can do that for you too.
I don't think he'd be hard enough on me, man. I think Christians are bad at being hard on each other.
Hmm.
Like the auction we did today. Everybody in the Bible study was like, well, I think we should do numbers because, you know, I don't want anyone to think that I'm like trying to outbid them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like,
Yeah, that's kind
of... it's kind of part of the game.
Yeah. I mean? I didn't realize that's what they were saying. Yeah, that's kind of... Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I need to be challenged, bro. And I need to be around people that are going to challenge me. And sometimes, this reminds me of the proverb, bro. What is it? A wise man can't learn from a fool, but a fool can learn from a wise... Or how's it go? Shoot! I'm going to have to pull it up.
Yeah. We need to get better on our prep game, honestly.
Brother, we don't even know what we're going to do Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But I think as Christians, ooh, this is going to sound crazy coming out of my mouth. Sometimes we can learn from the world. Ooh, that sounds crazy.
Mm.
if I could
find it. I think we can learn from the world, but not the world's principles. It's just like inherently the world, you know. We can learn a lot from the world in, like, we see, like, in this instance that we've just talked about with ourselves, we see the places that maybe we fell short. And rather than what we're doing and running away from it and being like, these knuckleheads that are like how I used to be, we can be like, maybe we could see it from a different perspective of like, oh, man, thank God that he is working on me and continuing to bring me to a better understanding of who he is. Did you get your verse there?
It's saying, it's from Bruce Lee.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Saint Bruce Lee.
Was Bruce Lee a Christian?
I don't think so.
Where is Bruce Lee from?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know very much about Bruce Lee at all. I have a friend who's a big Bruce Lee guy. Maybe I'll ask him.
I don't think I'm going to be able to find it here.
Yeah, I don't see anything about this quote that you said, a wise man, about learning from a fool.
Well, I mean, Proverbs 12:15, NIV says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. That's the New Living Translation.
That fits, which drives me nuts. But that fits what we're talking about for sure.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I think we needed that today. Where's that verse been?
In the Bible, bro.
While we were feeling like we knew everything. Yeah, I think the more I preach about pride, the more I see it's subtle, the subtle way that it creeps in.
It's something that none of us are immune from.
Yeah.
There's this idea that, like, we become a Christian, and I guess I experienced a different, like, coming out of a secular life and coming into Christianity, you're, like, on fire, and, like, Jesus, like, immediately healed me of all these things, and it wasn't as hard for me to stop sinning. You know what I mean? And yeah. I'm like, I got this. I'm washed. I'm good now.
Yeah.
And this is like what we talked about in Sunday school, this like some of these irreconcilable things, like we're washed by the blood, but what does that look like temporally?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What does that look like in our time? And I think to me it looks a little bit more like we're being washed daily.
Yeah.
There's like new grace every day.
Yeah.
Sanctifying grace.
That's heavy, man.
You're not. You've been in the gym, boy.
I have been in the gym.
You lose weight, boy.
I've been tearing it up, but that's what I'm saying. I'm getting pushed to my limit, but that's okay. It's good. It's good stuff. I need to keep doing it. Keep going. Keep at it. Tomorrow I'm going to hang a giant TV and...
What for?
Probably hurt myself.
What are you doing that for?
We're replacing the projector at the church.
Oh, you guys are doing that tomorrow already?
Yeah, I think so. It's supposed to be there tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see how all that goes. It's big, man. I don't think it's a two-person job. We'll find out. We'll find out tomorrow.
How big is it?
Like 100 inches or something.
Holy cow.
Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be... It probably weighs like 200 pounds or something. I don't know.
I must have learned nothing, but I need to show this verse to this kid, dude. It says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. I guess that's maybe for all of us, though.
That's for all of us.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Shut your mouth. It's like when in Habakkuk, when God says, he says, the Lord resides in his temple and the whole world falls silent. You know, I think that's sometimes we just got to shut our mouths a little bit. Because some of us aren't even talking out of our mouths. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm really trying to find this verse, but I cannot seem to find it. This is like when we were at church camp, and I asked you that question. I was like, you know that Bible verse that talks about like believing in what we're praying for or else we're not going to receive it? And I'm like trying to look it up, and everybody around, like Shay and Ben and you, are you're like, yeah, I don't think that's a Bible verse, bro. And then I found it like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, bro, this is that verse, bro. This is the verse I was trying to show you guys, bro.
Where's that verse where it says that I need to name it so that I can claim it?
First Bob chapter 2. Oh, man. Yeah. Selective grace.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, that's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a banger. Yeah. That's a rap.
Yeah, that's a rap on that one. But it's not the rap on God's truth, because God's truth won't back down. And neither should you. Stay focused, stay aggressive, and stay relentless for God's glory.
Yo, you had them Subway raps. They're kind of banging.
No, I don't know. I don't know about any of that. Have you had the sandwich at Jimmy John's that was made with a pickle instead of bread?